everybody. I'm Connor. This is Doug. And welcome to Chicken Pod Pie, a podcast about everyone's favorite domestic jungle fowl, the common chicken. Doug, these are truly fascinating beasts. Do you know a newly hatched chicken's called a biddy? That a young female's called a pullet? And tasty? Yeah, these birds are tasty. In this episode, we'll go over a few of our can't-miss chicken recipes, from chicken tikka masala to chicken cordon bleu. Doug might even share his mom's famous chicken noodle soup recipe. And we'll finish up by focusing a critical eye on the post-colonialist representation of anthropomorphic chicken in media. From Chicken Little to Foghorn Leghorn, we'll delve into...
Connor, I say, we can't do that podcast, sir. We just can't. This is The Bethel School District Presents... a podcast about the Bethel School District. On this week's show...
Wait. Doug, it's actually my turn to interrupt you. I think we might have a little problem this week.
We do?
As everyone knows, typically we do our longer interviews later in the show, but I have a really interesting interview this week that involves a plane crash, and from what I've heard around the water cooler, all you've got is some news about a school board meeting. Now, I don't want everyone to be bored and turn off the podcast before we get to my awesome interview.
Wait, so you're already anticipating my story is going to be less interesting than your story?
I'm not anticipating. It's a fact. It's science.
Okay. Challenge accepted. You share your interview first, and I'll take that time to ensure that people are held in rapt attention during my part of the show.
Good luck with that, Doug. Anyway, I recently sat down with Scott Martin, the new director of the Pierce County Skill Center, to talk about how he sold a video game company for $1 million and crashed an airplane. So, Scott, you recently left your position as principal at Cedar Crest Middle School to come over here and run the Skill Center. I know you loved working with middle schoolers, so what made you want to come over and make this change?
Well, I got to be honest, I wasn't expecting a change. I loved Cedar Crest. I've been a middle school guy for a long time, and we were doing great work. They still are doing great work, obviously. I had been at Cedar Crest for 8 years, and there gets to be kind of a shelf life on a principal in a building. How long is your voice heard? How long, is your leadership approach really relevant in that space and meaningful in that space? And so I sat down and was having some conversation with some colleagues, and someone recommended taking a look at the Skill Center. And when I started to dig in and figure out some of the ridiculously amazing things that were going on here, it just inspired me. I was jazzed. And so I managed to get over here and land the position, and I'm absolutely stoked. It's amazing.
And a lot of people might not know this about you. I'm sure a lot of people do. But you come from a theater background. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how you've used that experience in your life as an educator?
Yeah, absolutely. My undergraduate degree was in theater, and my first few years teaching started off primarily as a drama teacher. I gotta say, well, in terms of acting, I won't even tell you I was any good at it, so I can't say that that's necessarily helped me. But I think the process of developing a character, a lot of the work that you're doing is trying to read the people around you and understand those emotions and where they're coming from. And so in education, especially in administration, a lot of the work is trying to see other people's perspective. You're trying to move a group of teachers forward in terms of their skill set. And so to understand how they're feeling or thinking or how that's connected to them is really critical. And then also you're working with the students and you're trying to grow them forward. So what are they seeing and perceiving, and how is it affecting them? And again, parents, right? So you've got all these pieces, and as an administrator, you're trying to help everybody connect and move forward. And that's a lot of what you're trying to do when you're developing a character as an actor. So I think that has come into play a lot in the work that I do.
You're also known as something of an adventurer. A couple years ago, we actually did an article about you that we titled "The World's Most Interesting Principal." You've been skydiving, you've been bungee jumping, you've owned and flown your own plane. Then something happened with that plane. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience as a pilot?
I can tell you, but the real big downside here is that my wife is the teacher in the district, and I know she's going to hear this, and she really doesn't like me telling this story. So I'm sorry, Lisa, I apologize, but I was asked on microphone. I had been flying for 95 hours as a pilot. Ironically, you need 100 hours to get insurance. This is probably why my wife doesn't want me telling this story. But I was flying down, was the day after I got my job as an assistant principal. The previous assistant principal at Frontier, where I was at, he lived in Olympia. I was flying down to go golf with him, and on approach at Olympia, my tail stalled out, and I basically fell out of the sky onto the runway And yeah, I crashed that plane without insurance. Sorry, honey. Sorry.
And thankfully, most of us will go our whole lives without being in a plane crash. Can you just describe a little bit about what was going through your head when you realized, oh man, this is actually happening. I'm going to crash this plane.
Wow. It was rather overwhelming as I bounced down the runway at about 75, 80 miles an hour with my propeller striking the ground, much like a dolphin trying to swim was me bouncing. They call it a porpoised landing, quite frankly. So, yeah, not without some expletives, but it was definitely terrifying.
So is it fair to say that that was the end of your piloting career?
No, because I wasn't going to go down like that. It took a year. We had to take the engine apart, ship it somewhere, have it repaired, get the plane painted, new propeller, all that. A year later, it was ready to fly home from the Olympia Airport. So I went down with another licensed pilot, and I flew it home, and I landed it. And that was the end of my piloting career.
Okay, another fascinating part of your life. You had a kind of interesting stint in the video game world. Actually sold a game for quite a bit of money. Can you tell us a little bit about your history with video games?
Yeah, absolutely. I will say at the outset, the story is better than the reality of the story, but because we did sell it for quite a bit of money, but that money's not in my pocket. So long story short, my best friend from college and I, we were fans of fantasy football. At the time, this was back in the day, Farmville and those kind of Facebook games were, the viral games were really all the rage. And so we sat down and developed the idea of a game that would combine those two things. So it was considered Farmville with fantasy football. We pitched it to some friends that we knew in the video game industry, and they had some connections. So the four of us got together, launched our own company, went out with their connections, and got some angel investment to the tune of almost $1 million in angel investment. Ran the game on Facebook. We had over a quarter million players, almost 300,000 people playing the game. And then Zynga came along, the biggest conglomerate of that type of game in the world, and wanted to purchase our studio. So they paid us a little over $1 million for it. So yes, I have sold a video game company for $1 million. But if you remember earlier in the story, a lot of that money belonged to someone else. So yeah, fun story, not a huge bank account.
You have a background in video games, and now you kind of are overseeing a bunch of students learning about video games. That must be exciting.
Yeah, you know what's interesting to me? The video game connection is kind of fun. Even more than that, I think the entrepreneurial piece of it, just I've had a lot of different experiences and a lot of even different work experiences in my life. And when you come to the Skill Center, even kids in the video game program or in the composites program, while we are giving them those experiences, more than anything, we're helping them learn how to be a great employee and how to process through the sort of employment pathway. And so, yeah, the video game piece is cool, but even more than that is this idea that you can go be any of those things that you want to be, and you can build those skills even in any one of our programs. So it all works together that way. It's next level.
There's so many cool programs here, so many really unique programs. I mean, unique to our district, but unique to the state, really. Which of these programs are really exciting to you as you're getting ready to start your first year?
Well, I tell you right now, what's most exciting, the Skill Center is humming along. It's super successful. The instructors, the staff, they're doing amazing things. So it's really nice to come into a place that doesn't need to be fixed at all. So really right now, my eyes are on the horizon, working closely with Superintendent Siegel and some other folks in the community to see what we can design out. One of the biggest holes we have right now in Pierce County is people in the medical careers. We really have a deep need for people to fill those spaces, and that's the mission of the Pierce County Skill Center. So we're working closely with all types of people. We're working with local government, we're working with local institutions and medical people to determine, can we build a program that will expand our medical careers for students and help fill that economic pipeline, that employment pipeline. So that's right now what's really holding my attention and got me super excited to be a part of something that's already really awesome and humming along, and then see how we can continue to grow it and make opportunities for kids and support our community. So
awesome, Scott. Good luck on the first year, and thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Cheers. I'll let you know when I get back up in the plane. Maybe you can join me.
I will not.
Boy, there's a reason Scott was voted the most interesting principal in the world a few years back. That interview was kind of great.
Thanks.
So, did it feel good?
Did what feel good?
When I just gave you that little shout out there, I told you the interview was good. Did that feel good?
Yeah, sure. It's nice to get a shout out from people.
So what if we gave our audience the chance to submit audio shout outs?
You mean on the pod? What would that sound like?
I'm glad you asked. Here's Maddie. She's got our very first one.
Hi, I'm Maddie Woolery from Cedar Crest Middle School, and I want to shout out my coworker, Becky Matthews. She has been amazing both this year and years prior. She gives me lots of advice, helps me with my classroom, and is absolutely amazing.
If you'd like to submit a shout out, just like Maddie did, just record yourself on your phone. Use your favorite video or audio recording app. Heck, you can just use your phone's default video camera if you want. We won't use the video. We'll just take the audio and play as many as we can on the show. Just record your voice. Be sure to include your name, where you work, and the name of the person you're shouting out and where they work, and try to keep your shout out to around 20 seconds or so.
But what if we have more to say? Like, what if I want to sing someone's praises for a longer period of time?
Easy. Just pick up your phone and call that person. Tell them they're awesome for hours on end. But if you're submitting an audio shout out, keep it to 20 seconds or so.
Got it. No matter if you're a staff member, parent, family member, community member, let someone know you appreciate them with a shout out on the podcast. Like these ones.
Hi, this is Peter Knudsen from Cougar Mountain. I'm the associate administrator here, and I just want to give a shout out to Diana Turner at Transportation. She's been super helpful in supporting our kids, not only getting to school, but also just helping us hold students accountable for proper behavior on the bus. And it's just been a great partnership in working with her.
My name's Sean Simpson. I'm your director of secondary teaching and learning, and I'd like to give three shout outs to new members of our secondary teaching and learning team. Lori Honig is our new assistant director of teaching and learning, and she has embraced with passion and energy really supporting our induction program this year. Second person is Katie Riley. She comes from Graham Capelson High School, and she is steeped in equity and helping support our high school ELA teachers around literature circles, and she's our new high school ELA TOSA. And last, we have Bryant Kester, who brings a lot of energy and content knowledge around social studies curriculum and teaching strategies that we're really supporting our staff and teachers with high school social studies. Thanks so much.
To submit a shout out, record yourself and email it to us at communications@bethelsd.org.
That's communications@bethelsd.org.
Okay, Doug, you had ample time to ensure that your board meeting update would be as interesting as possible. Are you ready?
Whereas board meetings can be a little dry sometimes, and whereas they can sometimes...
Oh, here we go.
Therefore, let it be resolved that this part of the show will go down in history as a certified banger. Did I use that correctly?
Not even close.
From all reports, it's been the smoothest start to a school year in quite some time, now that we're post-pandemic and returning to business as usual. We all know that could not happen without a lot of behind-the-scenes preparation and help. I call it Preparation H.
Don't call it that.
And that preparation is something we discussed at a recent school board meeting. Now, a few episodes ago, we talked about Summer Institute, and there was a brief recap of that event at the board meeting. We discussed the 30th anniversary on the show, but did you know that 1,327 staff members took part in 90 different courses offered over just 7 days in August?
Yeah, teachers, nurses, paras, and more took part in a wide variety of courses, from classes for new educators to autism training to inclusive and equitable classroom management, and even a new course on first aid for youth mental health. It was a really big summer institute.
And as far as behind-the-scenes preparation went, School Board Director Marcus Young said the pre-planning our transportation department did, the minor changes they made to routes over the summer, really helped to get the school year off to a smooth start.
There's some districts that are outsourcing to third-party companies, and there's some districts that taxis are dropping off students at school. And so huge kudos to transportation, obviously everyone, staff and everything, but that's something that starts a kid's day off, right? And so if a kid is sitting at a bus stop for 40 minutes and then a taxi comes and picks them up with someone that's very indirect, that can totally change their day when they get into a classroom. So definitely wanted to take my hat off to them.
And once the kids got to school, there were hugs and smiles and a return to normal that hasn't been felt in some time. Assistant Superintendent David Hammond said some of the students he saw on day one at Spanaway Elementary were ready to go.
Two little first graders come up hand in hand, and one of the little first graders just stood there politely and just waited for us to finish talking, looked up at Principal Cosa and said, "I need to know where my class is, and my friend would like to know where hers is too, and we are not in the same class." And it was just very, I'm not scared. I don't care. And I'm ready to go. And it was just, I kind of smiled. I wanted to laugh, but I thought I better not laugh. It was really nice and refreshing. Just, I am ready for the day of school. Let's get moving.
And just to wrap up this recap, Connor, you recently visited Challenger High School to watch the old 30, 40-year-old portables being torn down now that the Phase 2 building is up and running.
I was. And the new building's something to see.
For sure. And parents and students are seeing that too. In fact, on the first day, Assistant Superintendent Brian Lowney said he and Principal Jeff Johnson saw something they had never seen before.
They had kids and parents standing outside taking photos, first day photos in front of Challenger High School. And that's not always been the case at Challenger High School. The smile on Principal Johnson's face of kids out front as Ravens taking photos in front of that school kind of speaks to some of the things we talked about when we toured that place this summer.
With the new school year underway, we're looking forward to visiting more schools and telling the stories of Bethel right here on the podcast.
Okay, Doug. That wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. It was Ike.
Aw, thanks, man. Is that my audio shout out?
Yeah, I guess it is.
Remember, if you have an audio shout out, send it to communications@bethelsd.org.
And that's going to do it for this week.
Hang on, wait, Connor. Are we not going to talk about Chicken Pod Pie, the unreleased parody song by Weird Al Yankovic of Live and Let Die?
Let's save that for season 2.
Okay.
See you next week, everybody.